Welcome, and thank you for tuning into the place where you hear insights and ideas from the voices that are shaping the future of the automotive aftermarket. The content's here to help you find solutions. Carm Capriato here, your host of Remarkable Results Radio, the Town Hall Academy, and AftermarketWeekly.com. Hey, welcome to the second part of a process and systems show with Brian Gillis. Brian is the chief UNet results strategist with 25 plus years experience in auto shop operations, hiring, recruiting, systems, processes, multi-store experience, and employee training. Hey, a big part of building your standard operating procedures is to start. Brian shares his formula and discipline for not only starting, but for continual improvement. Now, before we jump into this episode with Brian, I'd like to thank my sponsor, Napa Smart Sign, for their support and for making this show possible. We here at the podcast are so proud to partner with Napa Auto Care and the 2021 Napa Expo. Join Napa, including suppliers, industry experts, and your peers in Las Vegas, February 1st through the 4th, 2021. It's where you'll discover the latest news and industry information. Contact your Napa store for details on how to enroll. Hey, favor time. I've got a survey up at remarkableresults.biz/survey. It's very, very short, under 4 minutes, and I welcome your input. Tell me about you and what you'd like to hear as topics.
To get that answer, to get that clarification. So it's just going to save you a tremendous amount of time. And like you said, when you pull everybody together, you start to find out, well, maybe they're not all doing it the way I thought they were doing it.
Hey, not sure how you listen, but the majority of you do listen while you are mobile. Thank you for that. And if you aren't listening mobile, download a free listening app at remarkableresults.biz/listen. Now, there you'll find links to Apple, Google Podcasts, among so many others. Enjoy the insights wherever you go. Hey, once again, thanks for tuning in. Are you watching the new show, AftermarketWeekly.com? Well, it is a live show every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time. Every episode's available on the website, and you'll find really fun and interesting topics in the form of a magazine-style show, all aftermarket-focused, and it includes a shop tour. We've been doing shop tours all over North America, 19 weeks of it so far, and you may just take a great idea from one of them. Go to AftermarketWeekly.com. Hey, in between episodes, please spend some time on the remarkableresults.biz website. Now, every episode's cataloged, serialized, and segmented into keywords. You can find just what you're looking for with the search feature and the many, many ways we serve up the episodes. Now, enjoy the power of a documented process and systems program, part two with Brian Gillis. A warm welcome to Brian Gillis. Oh my God, Brian, good to have you back. Brian is the chief UNet results strategist. I think this is now your third visit with us.
Yep, and a pleasure as always. Thank you.
Well, you and I recorded our first one at Vision, which never got published until like June 23rd, episode 547. And we talked about business processes and better staffing. And I fell in love with all that you, your passion for processes. And I wanted to have you come back and get in a little deeper. I would say that it's one of the biggest areas of in our industry from the service professional to improve in their business. And it's probably one of the biggest daunting tasks. I mean, if you need a better profit and loss statement, you can get a piece of software and hire an accountant and you hope that they'll do a lot of the heavy lifting. But when it comes to building processes and systems on your very own, I mean, you got to lift the first hammer and nail, don't you?
Yes, sir. That's correct. You know, a lot of people just struggle with, you know, where do I start? How do I begin? And so hopefully this will shed a little light on that.
I've always known that there's this six P's that people put together about running a successful business: P for profits, people, products, promotion, and of course, process. Actually, I don't think you get any of that stuff without having a good process.
It's your how-to. How do we go about doing business? And it's a little work, you know, on the front end, and it is an ongoing, you know, your SOPs and your operations manual are ongoing, but it'll save you a tremendous amount of time on the back end. So huge value here for sure.
Let me just set the stage, if you will. I started to put my little thinking cap on before we sat here in the studio to record this, and I started to think about an inspection process, a final inspection, quality control process, bookkeeping, accounting, banking processes, customers inbound, outbound processes, team behavior processes, how to manage a comeback, how to manage a warranty, follow-up, warranty work, hiring processes. I'll stop there.
Yeah, and I could keep on going. There's so many.
You know, Brian talks a lot about you have to have the standard operating procedure manual. You know, and I always think about here, I got a small multi-million dollar business and it needs to still be this thick, right? It needs to be yeah. 3 or 4 inches. I've always said before, Brian, and I was such passionate, you know, in a former life, was that processes win wars.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it's going to help you with training, with validating, with you know, your team meetings and your mentoring sessions and the whole nine yards. So
let me just help everyone appreciate the reason Brian is here and why I believe he's such an expert. He's got 25 years of experience owning and operating auto repair shops in Texas, Georgia, Colorado, in doing just about anything. And I know that one of the things that you were so passionate about was processes, which is why you're here. So let's just jump in.
You know, when I work with my clients, you know, their SOPs in a lot of cases, unfortunately, are lacking. And it's not like a lack of desire. It's just kind of folks are a little unsure. How do I start this? Where do I go? So as I think it through, for me, the best place to start with your SOPs is building an SOP on making SOPs. So, you know, and understanding. So what I do is, one, I use Dropbox as a place to store my SOPs. And ultimately, this collection of SOPs then becomes your operations manual or your how-to manual. I have a blank template that we use to roll out the SOPs. And this template asks 4 questions that you want to address, which is, why am I documenting this procedure? The how, who ultimately is going to be responsible for this procedure? And that's really twofold. It's one is who's going to create it, and then who's going to execute the process, the procedure. And then what, you know, what are the key elements of this procedure? And then lastly is the how. How is this procedure done step by step? So you got your step by step, how we're going to get things done on this particular process, this particular procedure.
Well, I think how is the hardest thing for anyone to figure out in anything we've ever talked about on the podcast. People come in and say, well, I did this. Well, how did you do that? Let's pick an example really quickly on, we need an SOP for, give me something.
Well, there's answering the phone calls. How do we handle incoming phone calls?
Perfect. So why? It's probably not hard to figure out the why. And oh, by the way, Brian, would you want to sit down and start devising an SOP on answering the phones with your team or just you alone and see how far you get?
Some of the SOPs might be better off that the owner of the shop, or if somebody's a district manager, or regional, or a general manager, and that's their job. Some of them are going to be specific to just that person, but the majority of them, you do want to involve your team. When you involve your team, you're going to get your buy-in right there. And it makes it a little easier when you have the input of several others saying, hey, you know, this is how, you know, we typically do it. I mean, all shops have processes and procedures, and the way that they do things, it's just not documented anywhere.
You know what I love about what you just said? Here you've got, say, 2 or 3 service advisors and service consultants. They're all doing it just a little differently, and you don't discover that until you involve the team into coming up with the how. And you may go out and say, I like what Bobby's doing, and Joe's doing something really good, and each of them don't know each other's doing. And we need to make this a standard inside of our business. So that's one of the reasons that I've always felt, I understand the confidentiality of banking and everything, but if I'm not doing this job, it would be awfully tough for me to document it without input from the people that are doing it.
That's so true. You have to, because you don't always know what hurdles they face. Maybe without it being, you know, a announced. One person's doing it slightly, like you said, slightly different than the other person. And that kind of changes the experience for those customers. And so we want that consistency, which is one of the reasons you want to have these, you know, SOPs in place. And so I think you're spot on with bringing together the team.
By the way, for anyone who's listening, you don't need to get a document to start. You just need to write down why, who, what, and how. and you can start doing your SOPs. So we've got the why we answer the phone. We would know that the who should be answering the phone. But I also like the idea that if the phone is on its third ring, then who has got to be somebody in the back office wanting to take care of our customers. So you need to involve other people when that phone's ringing off the wall. The what are the key elements of this procedure? Well, the what to answer the phone, it shouldn't be that difficult to discover. And now the how, and that's the big piece.
As far as the how, what I've done with my incoming phone call SOP that I use with my clients is that we put in there our scripts. And so we know that we have to be able to recognize is typically going to be your top three type of phone calls that you're going to receive. The inquiry, you're going to get the oil change call. That's probably the most popular. And then you're going to get your price shopper. And so we need to be able to recognize which one of these three calls we're actually receiving right now, which is going to be the majority of them. Which script do we apply to which call? And so I've got three different scripts. We've got an oil change script that's specific for the oil changes. And all of these scripts are designed to capture the vehicle, continue our professionalism, to have our time management, and to be consistent. And so I've got one for the oil change. I've got one for if it's a customer that's inquiring, like, hey, do you guys work on Land Rover? Or, you know, what are your hours of operation? And so we've got the inquiry call. And then we got the one that's probably one of the more tougher, which is the price shopper. And for many reasons, I discourage giving prices out over the phone. And so there's a way to combat that with the script.
Well, you can actually have one caller do an oil change script, an hour script, and a price all at once.
Yeah, it could be jumbled up. They can, and so you definitely have to have on your thinking cap. I do believe in scripts on the how side of it, like we talked about, but of course that takes practice and rehearsal and, you know, training. So there's ongoing training. And like you mentioned earlier, when you listed off some of the SOPs you were dreaming up, there is a follow-up piece to this. You know, once you create a operating procedure and a way things should be done on a specific topic, then behind that, of course, you want to create a method for following up on said process.
Because they change overnight and you don't even know it.
That's right. That's why I recommend Dropbox. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with printing everything up and having a binder, but there is always going to be that change. And with that share file, you can go in there, edit it, update it, and then you can let everybody on your team know, here's the changes we've made to this particular process. And by the way, you can also, if you have supporting documentation or videos, you can add that to support that SOP that you've created. So it seems like this massive amount of work and is so complicated, but when you take it step by step, it won't be that tough.
Hey, Carm here, and listen when Brian explains the power of written procedures and the added value they have to the worth of your business. Hey, it's Carm here with news about the new NAPA Smart Sign, previously known as the digital menu board. I like to think of it like a silent salesman on a TV near your service desk. It's an easy way for you to increase customer awareness of your current promotions and educate them about needed repairs and service. In other words, having a NAPA Smart Sign will supercharge your sales. NAPA Auto Care tests have shown 1 out of 5 consumers ask for a repair or service they've seen on the board. And targeted promotions resulted in double-digit increases. One Auto Care shop owner said, "I've received amazing feedback. Customers are actually asking for additional services they see on the screen." Now that's what I call getting results. You choose the content for your Napa Smart Sign from a library of auto care services and repair topics. The Smart Sign comes with preloaded content. Just about anything you can think of is available, from alternators and alignment to wiper blades and wheel bearings. There are over 150 topics to choose from. Templates can be customized with your location branding for a professional look. Some of the options include customer reviews from Kukui, DemandForce, or MechanicNet, live news, and even the weather. Whatever content you choose, it's preloaded for you. Just as important, it's easy to change your services, prices, and video content anytime you'd like. Plus, the latest Napa national promotions are downloaded to you automatically. Of course, having a Napa Smart Sign gives your auto care center a professional, state-of-the-art look and feel that tells customers, I'm on top of my game. Now, that builds trust, which means recommendations are accepted more readily and customers spend more. Find out more about what Napa Smart Sign can do for your business. Talk with your servicing Napa store owner to find out more about the Smart Sign and all the other reasons to become part of the Napa Auto Care family, the largest network of independent repair shops in the country. There are so many pieces of software. Screencast-O-Matic is one of the things that comes to mind, where if you were trying to show someone how an SMS system worked or how you would do anything computer-wise, you can always record your screen. Not you, but anyone in the company. Hey, do me a favor, go in and do that transaction, record your screen, save it, as you say, up to Dropbox. Think about the fluidity of Dropbox and your whole idea of putting these up on the web. In March, I'll bet you a whole lot of SOPs changed in March of 2020.
I imagine so. Definitely.
And we had to get together as a group, as a company, and say, oh my, how do we inbound customers in a touchless way? How do we protect ourselves? There were probably, let me guess, a highly SOP'd, process-driven company probably created 10 to 20 brand new procedures in order to be sure that team and customer were safe.
Absolutely. Safety measures, how we're going to clean the shop, how we're going to sanitize vehicle. You know, although those are SOPs, you know, how are we going to let our customers know that we're an essential business and we're open? We spend a lot of time on that as well. And so, yeah, it's constantly changes with new technology, new equipment. You know, there's tablet technology now. There should be SOPs on how we utilize our tablets if we're using them. And again, you just say, you know, why am I creating this document? What, you know, why am I creating an SOP on tablet technology? And then who's gonna put this document together? Maybe it's the team. And then who's gonna execute it? The team, you know. And then, of course, you know, what are the key elements of this procedure? And then how do we go about doing it?
Let me be a naysayer for a moment. Part of my job here is to challenge thinking and to bring our aftermarket great episodes that reflect the real world. I'm a brand new client of yours, Brian. And I say, wait a minute, Brian, I don't need processes and procedures. We run on autopilot every day. It's amazing. I got some money in the bank. We do okay. Why do I need to invest in the next 6 months to a year locking down everything that we do in an SOP binder? Are you kidding me?
Well, that's a really great question. And, my answer would be, well, one, it's going to, you know, improve the value of your business. You know, when I meet with previous shop owners that have sold their business, one of the key things that can help, you know, drive out a better price is if you have kind of a franchise prototype, so to speak, or you have a method and a model. And so that business isn't reliant upon you being there, the owner, in order to make it happen. And so when you have these processes dialed in, the next thing I would say is, you know, unfortunately, we all experience turnover. This is a place to go for training and validating. And that validating your crew and your team, your associates, is ongoing. And maybe somebody changes positions. Maybe a general service lube tech is graduating to technician or graduating and wants to, say, become a service advisor. Well, now here you go. Come on in. Let's sit down. Let's start the training. We've got all these SOPs. They're up in the cloud on Dropbox, and we can start pulling them down one at a time, checking off the boxes as we go. And that information's always there to go back later if there's a question or if there's some uncertainty, to get that answer, to get that clarification. So just going to save you a tremendous amount of time. And like you said, when you pull everybody together, you start to find out, well, maybe they're not all doing it the way I thought they were doing it.
I mean, your answer is perfect. Let me see. I'm putting in 50 hours. The wife keeps telling me, can you come home a little sooner or earlier? And what a way to try to have a consistent business run with me not being there is to have a standard operating procedures manual. The whole consistency. There's one other thing. When the customer comes and does business with me, it's like going to McDonald's. I mean, the burger tastes the same at thousands of restaurants because of SOPs. I always have to be there when Mrs. Jones comes in because I got to make sure she's taken care of, because, you know, we go back all those years. And how else could it happen if you're not there, if you didn't have SOPs? And one of the other really important things you talked about was the execution and the accountability to them. And I guess your job as the CEO and or manager of the store, you're being sure that we're following.
That's right. And so once you create an SOP, then you can get, and you teach it to one of your people, then now what you've done essentially is you validated that that person understands this particular process and this procedure. So it is an accountability piece. No one can say, well, I didn't know that we were supposed to take out the trash at night. Well, yeah, you did, because you signed it right here. And here's that document. They might not recall it or remember, but they were told and they were trained.
Listen, there isn't any extremely successful company that has made it in a big way. I don't care, single store with a dozen bays and doing $4 million. There's a point in time, even if you don't grow stores, but you grow in volume and you add bays, no matter if you were a big place or a multi-shop places, you can't operate without procedures. You can't do it. And I want to go back to this how thing a little bit. Is the biggest struggle for your clients and or for you to get these implemented is actually figuring out how we run our business?
Sometimes it can be. And it really, on that question, it depends on the actual SOP. Sometimes you have to actually go back and put yourself in the moment, you know, just think through your regular day up at the business and how you execute a particular, you know, for example, how do we present repair work to customers? You know, is there a particular way that you want to do it? You know, I come from the school of, you know, we don't just pick up the phone cold and call a customer. There's a lot of things that go into the preparation before we present to a customer. And so there, again, there's these boxes that we can check. We have defined how we want to go about presenting repair work to a customer. You know, do we want to mention things within a system that are in good condition? For example, if you have a failed radiator, do we want to talk about the water pump? Do we want to talk about the reservoir bottle? Do we want to discuss maintenance within that cooling system? And so if that's the way that you present repair work, then that would be part of the how we do it. And you want that consistency. You want that consistency amongst the team.
I can see that if we have a failure to perform, we either have a poorly written SOP or we have someone who's not following it.
Correct. You know, one of my mentors that I worked for many, many years, actually a couple decades, Mr. Greg Sands, taught me that there's three reasons that people fail. They don't know, they can't do, or they don't care. And so I always felt like it was my mission to take away the don't know. And, you know, and through having SOPs and being able to validate with an associate that they've learned this process and procedures that are this specific one, then that really kind of takes away, well, I didn't know. I didn't understand that was the way we were supposed to do it, which then only leaves two things left, which is either they don't care or they just can't do it, which are just a couple things that are hard to live with and stay along with. You know, we want to have somebody that can do it, and we want to have someone that cares. And so the only other reason, again, is they don't know. And having these SOPs in place is kind of eliminates, I didn't know.
There should never be an excuse for don't know.
Exactly. That's our job, right? It's our job to train employees and associates. They want that training. They want that development. They want to understand, what am I supposed to be doing? They want the information. And so, you know, it takes time to put together an entire operations manual. You start one SOP at a time. You do the first one, you know, and then you do the next one. I recommend, you know, kind of looking at the top 10 things that impact your business the most. And you named off quite a few at the beginning. And that's where you start. Those are your top 10. Involve your team, get their buy-in, you know, and now they're actually part of it. It's definitely a win when you start kind of putting together that, say, that franchise prototype. If you ever want to open up another location, I highly recommend having operating procedures in place, documented.
How many times have I done interviews with multi-shop owners and they said doing store two just felt right, but it wasn't until we started to realize that we weren't really good in trying to duplicate store number one into store number two because we never documented it. Then we just got excited about having a third store, and it was the third store that knocked us upside the head to realize the critical nature of SOPs that we needed to do. And it was store three, in many cases, that really made them rock solid. And then from then on, 4, 5, 6, and 7 were easy to do. And, you know, part of what Gerber says, and you're talking about from, you know, scaling your business, is you cannot scale your business. I don't care if you want to add base to a single location and go from 4 to 12. You can't do that and scale in branch growth, scale in bay count in a single place and go from 1 million to 4 million if you didn't know how you were going to get there.
You know, with my background, that's what we were, you know, multi-unit. We opened up all over the country, and that's why I fell in love with processes and procedures and having a model and a concept. In a way, this is how we do it. And it takes out the confusion. You know, you don't have to figure it out. It's for the employee. They get it. They understand. And it doesn't, you mentioned McDonald's earlier, you know, so they got those guys, they fry their burgers. And then there's the other big burger place where they flame broil them, right? And it's not saying that one way is successful, one way is not, but having that established way, so when your employees are there, they don't have to ask questions. They understand, like, this is how we do it. And like you said, at McDonald's, it's dialed in. You know, so many seconds go by and it's time to flip the patty. So
what is an average time that I could, I guess the more difficult the procedure, say it is this telephone thing, it is the scripts, we shouldn't push that so that, you know, within 3 or 4 days we can get this thing done. Give yourself some time, you know, to put the pot on the stove, get the water in it, put on the heat slow. I mean, don't come to a fast boil. Spend time on your biggest critical procedures, and then expect that once they're out and done and in the system, that they're going to have to be tweaked in, say, maybe 30 days, because nothing's perfect. They evolve.
Absolutely, 100%. These processes and procedures can be tweaked. Most likely will change. It's like you said, back in March, a lot of processes had to change. You know, extra steps to servicing a car got added. You know, the cleaning it down afterward, putting on a mask and glove beforehand, seat covers, steering wheel, you know, some things we may have already used, but now it's a very much higher level of cleanliness than maybe we had prior. And so technology changes. I remember having the old knuckle buster credit card thing we used to keep in our shuttles, you know, so that you could take a credit card on a road service call. Well, now we don't use those anymore, you know, not that I know of. Now, you know, you've got other methods of getting the credit card information. So they'll certainly change. And so that's what's great about putting them in like Dropbox, for example, because you can always go and you can edit it. It's a living document.
I know guys that use Google Docs. They've been very successful at that, where the team has the access, like you say, you know, you just need to have a URL or approved access to get to the document. And no matter if you're on a, like you say, a desktop, a tablet or a smartphone, you literally could look up the SOP for the company that you work for. And or if you're the owner and you're in charge, or the manager and you're in charge and you need to make a quick change, you can make a quick change on the fly no matter where you are. And then ultimately tell the team, hey, you remember we talked about this at the last meeting? Well, I've made a change in the SOP. Could you all please go in and check the box that says you've read it and you understand it? I mean, those are also really cool ways to bring that accountability piece in.
Yes, sir, it is.
So I'm a small business person. I'm struggling. I'm not making the kind of money that I should be. And I know that maybe I should be hiring a business coach. Maybe I should be learning a little bit more about my labor rates and my gross margins and my matrices and, you know, all the other things. Brian, where would you rate, based on everything that I just mentioned, where procedures, policies, procedures, SOPs need to be? Are they high on the list, medium in the list, or low on the list?
They're high on the list. I mean, that's what we do. That's how we do it. It's the flag we fly. It's the way we handle our customers, how we greet them, how we present repair work, how we test drive a car. You know, all of those things are very important. And like I said, a lot of shops have the ways that they do things. They're just not documented. And by not being documented, that creates confusion. That creates, you know, additional time that you have to spend training over and over again. It makes it, you know, very, very difficult to hold people accountable for a process. If there's no process to be found, then it makes it very difficult. It should be high on your priority list. You should give yourself plenty of time to do it. It's like you said, it's not a race. We don't have to hurry up. We'd rather have it done right, involve the team. Maybe try to do one a week, one SOP a week. Peel off a little bit of time, but that time you peel off, I promise you will get it back in the future when you don't have to reteach the exact same thing over and over and over and over again.
Okay, I'm bought in. I've got to do SOPs. Where do I start? My suggestion is this. And I know the phone thing is critically important because it drives sales. But in order to involve the entire company, I wrote down comebacks. And here's why I'm saying that. No doubt a technician has a perspective on comebacks. And I'd love to know how he or she sees comebacks affecting their job. What do they do when a comeback comes in? The service consultant, no doubt, has a process, a perspective on how comebacks happen. No doubt the bookkeeper has to be involved in a element of comebacks, as they would track credits on the part and or a potential possible alleged labor claim, right? And then the owner has to be involved, because the owner sees it from what, the 5,000 foot view, an umbrella over the company, and he or she should be writing down what and how he sees it. You take all those four documents and you could probably frame up 80% of the procedure right there.
Yeah. I mean, they can go. It's kind of like a web in a way, like a spider web, because things are connected and intertwined with each other. One SOP is going to connect to possibly another SOP, and there might be, you know, multiple people involved.
And different roles and responsibilities for each of the tasks through that. I know we could go on for 2 hours to talk about this, but I really think we challenged and we laid up the value and the importance of SOPs. Now, I know you can come back and we could do another completely take on this. What else should we be talking about?
My recommendation to the industry and shop owners out there would be, you know, if you don't already have something like this in place, just get started. take one step at a time, and before you know it, you'll have your operations manual in place. Don't be worried, because it's like we talked about, it's not set in concrete. You can adjust it. You can tweak it. So I've talked to some shop owners who are worried about documenting the wrong thing. You know, it might not be exactly right. That's all right. We'll go back and clean that one up. We can tweak it. But let's start taking those steps to develop that, so that if you ever do want some extra time off, or you ever want to sell your business, you want to make training new hires or growing with new hires easier, then this is the way to do it.
Great, great point. Brian Gillis, You Net Results, a very important business process guy in the industry, because you've got the years to prove that you know what you're doing. Thank you so much for being here and going over process, procedures, systems with us.
Thank you so much for having me, and I really appreciate being here, sir.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.